comes. Here it
watch out!
Comes.
He's gone! Wow!
Point, because it's a 6% slope, 50 feet. So right now it will gather speed.
Good weight.
It's a two-footer. Oh my goodness.
All the way! Oh, can you believe that?
Ladies and gentlemen, must be the hottest podcast in the universe. Winners of four of the last five tournaments on the PGA Tour. It's Walk It In, Mark and Jeff, episode 85. Major week, U.S. Open, coming off a huge Nick Taylor win, 60-1 long shot at the RBC Canadian Open. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm good, man. The Canadian sensation, Nick Taylor, 72 feet for all of Canada. I wonder how many miles it is from the west coast of Canada to the east coast of Canada. But that putt was probably just as epic as all things Canada. As someone who lived in Michigan, has spent time in Canada, and who just finds the entire fanfare around a sort of country's open, you know, the way that the RBC Canadian Open is, it is really cool to see Nick Taylor get it done in a playoff. How many holes did we go? Did we go five?
Four or five.
Something, the fireworks, Tommy makes a big putt on 18 on the first playoff hole. They trade some nerves.
They trade some punches. They trade some goofs. Yep.
No doubt. But I just, man, I love it. I love it. That is exactly what I want out of the non-elevated events. That was it. I want there to be something that feels bigger than just a random tournament in the middle of Ohio. Like Canada showed out. Nick Taylor showed out, and that is awesome. And
yep.
Last week's episode was about the whole merger stuff, and we're really not going to talk about that today. But this is where I think golf and the PGA Tour needs to just look at it and say, this is where the magic is. Outside of the majors, which are their own magic, this is the other secret sauce, man. I enjoyed every minute of it, and I'm happy for you that you got another winner, man. You are on an all-time walking heater, man.
Three out of the last four for me, four of the last five total, because you had Jason Day 2 weeks before my first win. I'm glad you mentioned that it was a non-elevated event last week. It was honestly some of the most exciting golf that I've watched of the non-elevated events. It was awesome. And not just because I had the winner in contention, but it was honestly electric, from the fan excitement to the way the 14th hole is set up with hockey boards everywhere, just everything about it, I thought was so awesome.
The WWE action on the green when Adam Hadwin tried to spray Nick Taylor champagne and got
so good,
leveled by the world's most aggressive security guard.
With There's like eight different camera views. Yeah.
But the one of the ultra clear high def of the guy basically appearing around Nick Taylor and his caddy and then bull rushing.
Almost, yeah, like Hadwin's POV, right?
Yes. And you just see the security guard's eyes flash. He's like, oh, not today. Yep. Not today. And of course, it's Adam Hadwin. Then you see Nick Taylor's face. And he's like, whoa, that's my boy. Like, easy. And of course, Adam Hadwin then apologizes, because that's what Canadians do, eh?
So funny.
But I think you hit it. It's The course was great. Oakdale really showed out. There was a lot of fun sort of happening all day Sunday. And kudos to Nick Taylor. Also, Tommy, I mean, damn, dude. Like, guy just – a dude drains a 72-foot eagle putt in your face on the fourth or fifth playoff hole. Tommy can't win stateside, but feels like he's knocking. And I don't know. We'll talk about the U.S. Open here soon. But Tommy's been playing
You don't actually have him in the U.S. Open, do you?
No, I don't. But Tommy's been playing good golf, man. He deserves a little bit of due. He's catching some bad breaks. I'm pulling up his most recent profile. Like, so second, he had the T5 at Wells Fargo, T3 at Valspar. Maybe it's not as good as I thought it was, but like, he's knocking on the door.
I mean, Victor Hovland is knocking on a door. Tommy Fleetwood is just playing decent golf. Come on.
All right. The statistics don't back up my claim, but I just like Tommy, you know, like, and
I know.
Class act.
He's a lovable loser.
He is a lovable loser. I have plenty of them. I waste lots of money on them every week on the PGA Tour on my betting card. So I just got to give a little shout out to Tommy boy. But yeah, man, I think I think we're in for a really fun event this week. And I don't know if there's anything else you want to say about the Canadian Open, but I just want to double underline the idea that these country opens are just more, man. Give me an Irish Open. Like, you've got all of this sort of merging now. Like, give me an Australian Open. Why not? I don't understand how the PGA Tour could look at the success that LIV had at Adelaide and not think we need that. Like, that's where we need to go. We need a Japan Open.
I would think we're headed that way, but I guess
sure, we'll seems see. Like it. Yeah. Yeah. So
no other thoughts though. I mean, Justin Rose played really well. We both had him.
He just real quick, that iron shot. So it was clearly a delayed tape. They brought it back to Jay Rose and it was just, he hit it and you saw the lean and he was playing an iron when you could have easily hit driver on that hole. He was trying to be cute and it blew up right there because he never got his mojo back. And had he not double bogeyed that hole, I think he would have been in it to make noise at the end. I think that totally let the air out of his tires. Otherwise, we might have had a Nick Taylor, Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood playoff for all we know.
Agreed. I really enjoyed the tournament and it gets us right into another major, which, you know, you and I live for. So,
yeah, man. Yeah. We didn't hit the winner on the PGA, did we? I did. I hit Rahm at the Masters. I can't remember if you hit.
I hit Brooks.
Yeah, you hit Brooks. Yeah.
The only thing we missed in the last 5 weeks was Grillo.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only one we've missed was Grillo in the last 5 weeks. You had Jason Day. And then I had Koepka, Hovland, and Nick Taylor.
Yep. Yeah, man. Podcast is on a roll. No better time to be heading to a major. We're looking to go 3 for 3. We're talking Grand Slam territory here the Walking In podcast. Watch
that
out.
That should not be understated. We have both majors this year.
It can't be. And we're heading to Cali, Los Angeles Country Club. We don't talk as much about course design and sort of just the whole sort of aesthetic. I mean, I think we save that typically for the Masters Week podcast. This is going to be really cool. I'm excited for primetime golf. You know, in January when we have the Sony Open and the Century Tournament of Champions, we're watching golf late in the evening. I am very, very pumped to see golf late into the evening on the East Coast and Central Time in a very cool setting in the middle, literally the middle of Los Angeles. I don't know, Mark, if you just can like set the scene for the listeners, anything that you're excited about before we get into the odds board.
No, I mean, I think you nailed it. I think this course looks really awesome. The setup looks great. And hopefully it plays like a true US Open. Hopefully it's difficult. Hopefully the cream rises to the top. We get some super stardom on Saturday and Sunday and, we're in for a treat. I had, when I was going through my card to start, I probably had, I think it was 11 and a half units doled out before I started to whittle it down. And we go 7 units for majors, of course, on Walk It In, but I had 11 and a half units and I had to cut some things. So there are a lot of things that I like this week.
Yeah. This week is going to be a lot of fun. There's a really good backdrop to everything this week. You've got the California vibe. There's a lot of golfers, and I'm sure a couple we'll talk about who might be playing some home games. You've got
just put all 7 units on Max Homa.
You know, I thought about it.
I
figured if there's any way for us to go 3 for 3 on majors, it should be on me putting the house on Max Homa. We'll talk about that when we get there, but I'm just pumped. I think this is going to be, I think what you said about the cream rising to the top, I think that's probably a given. The US Open generally tends to bring out the best. We'll see how they have Los Angeles Country Club playing, but you can expect some carnage. Sounds like there's a lot of gettable holes. Sounds like there's some what they're calling half par holes out there. So we'll see. Maybe scoring will be better than the typical US Open, but I think the scenery is going to be epic. I kind of had this vision of like, and this is a little bit of a tease on where my card's going to be, but I think there's some Australians that are going to play really well this week. Some of the comments coming out of media availability has me thinking that there's some comfort and familiarity for more than just the California kids who we'll cover here shortly. But let's waste no time. We have 7 units to dole out, so lots of potential picks here. Let's begin right away at the very top of the odds board and get things pulled up here. But it should be no surprise to anybody that we are talking about, as is common, our most common, our Scotty Scheffler, Jon Rahm. And in this case, Scotty Scheffler with a pretty sizable lead in terms of shortest odds at plus 650. This is Tuesday night when we're recording. Jon Rahm right behind him at 9-1. It's really those two who continue to steal the show. Let's start there as we always do. Mark, neither guy is on my card this week, but I think for obvious reasons, both guys are very live.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm not on either of them to place or to win, at least by themselves. But we might as well kick it off with a prop for US Open week, huh?
Flip the script, baby.
Top finish parlay. Half a unit. Scotty Scheffler, top 5. Jon Rahm, top 10. Brooks Koepka, top 20. The big 3. Again, Scheffler, top 5. Rahm, top 10. Koepka, top 20. It's 7-1 for half a unit. That's where I'm going to start my card this week. I think all three play really well. But especially Scheffler and Rahm, the odds just probably a little too short for me to bet by themselves. So this is a way for me to get some Scheffler and Rahm action at pretty good odds, I think, at 7-1.
I like that. You're talking about the three shortest odds on the board, top 5, top 10, top 20, Koepka being the top 20, Rahm the top 10, and Scheffler the top 5, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, as long as Scheffler doesn't have another putting performance like he had at Memorial, even if he's average, he should be in contention, if not winning by a couple strokes.
He's got 4 straight top 5s, even with his putting woes.
Yep.
T2 at last year's US Open, T7 the year before that. I have high hopes for Scheffler this week.
Absolutely. And he's a great major player. A couple good showings here in the past, or really at the US Open in general. And the putter, while fickle, you'd think he's probably due for a bounce back. You think any of this, there's a lot of rumors about Jon Rahm and whether or not he was on the way out to live, and that was part of the whole announcement. He even had some spicier comments, you might say, this week.
Yeah.
No concerns on your end about where Jon Rahm is mentally going into this?
No, because I don't think it matters, because I think Jon Rahm knows that whatever he wants to do, no matter what tour he wants to play on, they're gonna welcome him with open arms. And either the PGA Tour is going to make him whole with a fat bag, or Liv's gonna give him a fat bag. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
And both tours will wait him out, and it doesn't really matter. So I think Rahm is pressure free, stress free this week.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what tour you're playing on, the objective remains the same. Get the ball in the hole the fewest amount of strokes, and he's pretty damn good at that. You mentioned Koepka. He checks in 3rd on the odds board, 12-1. Mark, you mentioned him in your parlay. Is there any exposure to Brooks besides that?
Yes, sir.
I figured there would be.
You know it, Jeffrey. That's where I'm starting my card. He's 12-1, putting a half a unit on the win bet, going right back to him after the PGA. He's got 2 U.S. Opens already. This course is said to have pretty wide fairways, similar to Erin Hills, where he won. And obviously we don't have to talk much about Brooks Koepka's form and how he loves majors. So yes, I'm going back to him. Half unit on a win and 3/4 of a unit on a top 10 at plus 130. So that makes my Koepka exposure a win, a top 10, and a top 20 all told.
All right. Well, within that window, shortly behind Koepka, there's an interesting break here in the action. You've got your teens, which have Roy McIlroy at 14-1, Cantlay, California kid, 16-1, Xander, California kid, 18-1, and Hovland, 18-1. Then a big gap before you reach the 30s. Not a single player currently Tuesday night sitting at any number in the 20s. I'm going to be honest, my card starts a lot later than is typical for me. I think there's a really good value in this field. I'll touch on that here momentarily. Mark, anybody else in the teens for you or anyone worth a debate?
Yeah, I'm going to stay with one more superstar, and that's Xander Schauffele at 18.
Is he a superstar, mm-hmm. Mark?
Well, I guess that's up for debate.
Maybe.
He's not a major killer. So I think if you were to ding him for that, as far as superstar status, I think you're well within your right to do that. maybe he's a star plus. Can we call him a star plus?
Star plus. I think that's a very fair. Everybody gets a plus nowadays, right? So
yeah.
Disney plus,
yeah.
Hulu plus, yeah, all that shit. ESPN yeah, plus. Yeah,
star plus for Xander Schauffele. His US Open history is pristine. T14 is his worst finish at a US Open. T7, solo 5, T3, T6, T5. He is on an absolute heater. Drives the ball over 300 yards. He's 8th in strokes gained tee to green this year, 6th in strokes gained approach, 12th in strokes gained putting. He's doing everything right now, and I really like Xander Schauffele. Talking about guys knocking on the door for majors, I mentioned Victor Hovland earlier at the start of the episode, but Xander Schauffele is right there with Victor Hovland, in my opinion, in terms of knocking down some major doors here soon. So 18 to 1, half a unit, and then three quarters of a unit on a top 10 at plus 180 for Xander.
Yeah, this is one of the more baffling players. Somebody with he's won tournaments, multiple tournaments on the PGA Tour, tremendous record in terms of finishes at the US Open. It's just for some reason he can't get over the hump. I mean, he has in his last six US Opens, one finish outside the top 10. He was T14. Crazy. That's insane consistency.
That's his worst finish at a US Open.
And you know, he's back home in Cali. Maybe it is Xander's time to shine. You know, to be fair, Mark, I really can't poo-poo Xander considering my card starts in the 30s and I've got a guy who's shown even less form in majors. He's also a California kid. So I'm just going to take the mic here and move us right out of the teens. Even if we have to come back to it, it's fine. But the segue is too perfect. I'm taking Max Homa at 35 to 1.
I have been
consistently touting Homa at LACC since the start of the year. I had Rom circled for the Masters. I've had Homa circled for the US Open. I understand the lack of major performance is a concern for Max. In fact, some of the recent form has been somewhat concerning. After a really good start to the season where he won at Farmers, also played in California, where he had multiple top 10s. He's coming off a top 10 at Charles Schwab. He had a T8 at Wells Fargo. But he sandwiched that with a bad showing at the PGA, made the cut, but he didn't do anything. And I think that's still the big question is, on any given week, Max can be one of the best players in the world. But major weeks, he just doesn't seem to show it. He doesn't have any good finish at the US Open. This is a bit of a blind faith bet. Some of his trend lines are better. The putter's been good. That's never something you really want to bank on week to week with betting, but his approach numbers have leveled back out. His off the tee numbers are fine after a rough stretch in the month of March and April. I just think this is a good fit for him. I believe that he would have liked to play better at the Masters and at the PGA to give himself some confidence, but I don't think he necessarily needs it given his familiarity, given that he's back home. I mean, he competed at the Genesis with John Rahm. That was also in California. He's won at the Fortinet, also in California. There's a comfort level out west for him.
One thing I will say about Homa, and I'm not on him this week, I think it is extremely beneficial that he's playing with one of his good friends and another California boy in Colin Morikawa.
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday. He's also playing with Scheffler. But I think it'll be an extremely comfortable threesome there for those guys. So maybe they feed off each other and the three of them get off to a really good start Thursday and Friday.
Yep. So I've got him on the win at 35 to 1 for a half unit and a top 20 at plus 130 for 1.5 units. I'm bullish on Homa this week, and I've already stated all the reasons why, and certainly could completely bomb me here, but I'm confident that this is the bounce back game for him. Look, I jumped us ahead to the 30s and I put it right into Max Homa. So really quickly, let me just round out who else is in the 30s. Mark, you didn't have anybody else in the teens, did you?
Okay. No.
So in the 30s, we've got Tyrrell Hatton, Jordan Spieth. We've got Cameron Smith at 30 to 1. We've got Matt Fitzpatrick at 35, Dustin Johnson at 35, and Colin Morikawa, as Mark mentioned, also a California kid at 35 to 1. That is your 30s. We'll get in the 40s here in a second, but Mark, anybody else in the 30s? Fancy you this week?
Nope, that's it. I looked at Morikawa maybe briefly, but decided that aside from the two big guns I just mentioned up ahead, I'm going to go down a little bit into the 40s and beyond.
Okay. I do have some 40s and beyond myself, but I do have one more player in the 30s, and that is Cameron Smith. I am very bullish on any course where Cameron Smith driver is neutralized. His accuracy off the tee, and he mentioned it in media availability this week, is always his biggest weakness. You mentioned wide fairways. I think Cameron Smith's form since the Masters, and I get it. It's live. It's different, whatever. He did have the T9 at the PGA Championship. He's had some good finishes on the live tour, but I think this is a great spot for him. And I think this course just kind of sets up really well for the Aussies. I think the feel of it, the sort of setup, it should mimic a lot of what they're comfortable with back home. And I think Cameron Smith, I think the shine of getting the bag from Liv maybe wearing off a little bit. I think he was clear about where his priorities had been. And I think it's clearly showing that he's rounding back into form maybe a little later than we would typically expect from him. But I really think Cameron Smith's going to play well this week. Very bullish on him. 35-1 win bet for a half unit and a top 20 at +130 for 1.5 units.
I like that.
It's hard to ignore him.
Yeah,
it's like,
I agree.
Find the moments where he's, and actually just take that back. It's +120, apologies, +120 on the top 20. But yeah, I just think everything else Cam Smith does is world-class. And if the course isn't going to force him to fight the driver, I think he's going to have a really good week.
Yeah, I agree. You have more guys in the 30s?
Nope. Why don't you take away the 40s for us?
Yeah, I'm going to start at 45-1 with Hideki Matsuyama. I've got a number of bets on Hideki this week. For a guy who has some neck issues, public neck issues here over the last couple of months, it hasn't really affected his results. Fifth at the Players, and then quickly T15, T16 at the Masters, T23 at the Byron Nelson, T29 at the PGA, and T16 last week at the Memorial, or 2 weeks ago, excuse me, at the Memorial. Playing really well, and love his long irons, which I think are going to be really important here at LACC for the season. He is 19th on tour in approaches, 175 to 200. He is 53rd on tour, which is still really good, from 200 to 225, and then 35th on tour from 225 to 250. So I think it's really going to help him over his last 16 rounds. He's 13th in the field, strokes gained tee to green. He's 8th in strokes gained approach. There's a lot to like about Hideki Matsuyama this week, and he did finish 4th last year at the U.S. Open and has some really good history here dating all the way back to 2017 with a couple top fives and a number of top 20s. So love him. I'll give you 3 bets on Hideki Matsuyama. So I've got half a unit at 45-1. I've got 3/4 of a unit on a top 20 at +165. And then I've got top Asian 2-1 for a full unit. So pulling up DraftKings real quick, over on the nationality props, you've got Hideki Matsuyama, obviously Sung Jae-im at +225 right behind him, Tom Kim, Siwoo Kim, K.H. Lee, and then a couple of guys way below that group in terms of talent. Love Matsuyama to beat Sung Jae and the rest of them. And at 2-1, I think presents some value. So full unit on that. And then the win bet in the top 20 on Hideki Matsuyama. I'm all in on him this week.
I really like Hideki too. I've got Hideki in another little parlay later. But I think Hideki's going to have a really, really good week. I think all the investment in Hideki's going to pay off. And as things have gone, I remember it doesn't matter because I didn't bet it. But last week in the podcast, it is recorded, so you can check me on this. I did say how much I like Nick Taylor and how close I was to having it on the card. We both had Justin Rose. Maybe in past seasons of Walking In, if Mark and I were on the same guy, you might want to steer clear. But this year, it's a little different story. And both of us really like Hideki this week. I You like my Cam Smith pick. I really like the Hideki pick, and I'll touch on Hideki a little bit here towards the end of my card.
Love it. You said you were in the 40s also?
I do. I do have one more guy in the 40s. I'm taking Tony Finau, 40-1. Shocker. The thing about Tony lately, since he won at Mexico, has been a bad putter. It was bad at Wells Fargo. It got worse at the PGA Tour, and it got, or sorry, the PGA Championship, and it got even worse at the Charles Schwab. Everything else has stayed relatively consistent. A couple bad blips, but that run of form in the middle of the season, March, February, January, and even towards last year, where we saw him rattle off a few wins, like ultra consistent. The putter was consistent. The driver was consistent. The approach numbers were consistent. The approach numbers have stayed consistent. I think that this is a good reset for him. He hasn't played in a couple weeks. I love that, especially when you're coming off of a bad stretch of form. Like I think the putter, you know, the way guys tweak the putter week to week, I think Tony's going to have something and some magic, and I think he's going to find the rest of his form. He's had some good finishes in the U.S. Open in the past, and Tony Finau last year and this year is just, he's a totally different golfer. I mean, he's winning tournaments. I know he doesn't win the big ones, but everybody's got their first go, and I think this is going to be his first go. 40-1, taking him to win. I got to pull this up because I made some last-minute adjustments. Taking him to win for a half unit, and I am taking a top 10 at, let me get the most official number here. I am taking him at plus 280 on the top 10 for half a unit.
Bad radio. You can't see mine and Jeff's faces, but Jeff is rocking his brand new wedding band. How's
That's
it feel,
right,
brother?
Baby. What's that?
How's it feel?
It feels great. I was really hoping that I could brag about for the Justin Rose, marriage bump for me last week. And like I said, that double bogey on 8 crushed the dream, but yeah, man, I'm feeling great. What a wonderful wedding. What a wonderful, sort of experience. We missed you, walking in, got a shout out at the wedding. Yes. From my father-in-law. So you know we're big time. If you didn't already know, now you know. Yeah, man. Thank you. It is a wonderful feeling.
Awesome.
All right, 50s. Well, let's just kind of open the board up. I guess before we do that, I do want to call one number that I think is really interesting. Didn't make my card, 7 units. Justin Thomas has not been mentioned yet, and he is sitting there at 50-1.
Yeah, I almost took that out of principle.
That was my thing, too. Is it a principle bet?
Maybe. I mean, his form is not great, but his U.S. Opens are pretty good. I almost took it out of principle, but if you were looking at the odds board at 50-1, you know who I'm on. So
Hold on. Oh, yeah, it's got to be Mr. Fowler.
It's got to be. So, yes, I am on Ricky Fowler again. I am not apologizing for it. He continues to play great. Missed the cut at the PGA and came back super strong with the T6 at the Charles Schwab, T9 at the Memorial. Continues to be an absolute stud on tour. 12th in strokes gained tee to green, 8th in strokes gained approach. Driving distance 32nd, which is going to certainly help him this week. And we can get those long irons dialed in, 175 to 200. He's 24th on tour. I'm feeling really good about Ricky again. 50-1, a quarter of a unit and three quarters of a unit on a top 20, a plus 175, which I absolutely love.
Ricky's getting a lot of public love this week, rightfully so. The form has been really good. The ball strike, he's been fantastic. Yeah, man. I mean, he's the same odds as Justin Thomas, which is kind of wild to me. But Justin Thomas is there because his game is not sharp, and Ricky's there because his game is sharp, and there's still a lot of value, even considering the sharpness. I question whether he has win equity this week. I think he's going to get a win this year. I just think it's going to be something more like a John Deere Classic, as an example. Just it's coming. I don't know if it's a major, but I respect your consistency because that, same way, man. Like we got our guys, ride or die.
Committed.
Exactly. You're not going to miss it. And if you miss it on a major, then you're just really not a stan. Like you can't.
It's worth a quarter of a unit of my time and my money.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially when you win three of the last four tournaments, I think you can waste a couple shekels on Mr. Fowler. All right. Where do you stand right now? How many units do you have left to divvy out?
I only have three quarters of a unit left. I gave out a ton of bets already, considering I was pretty spread out, but I already gave my top Finnish parlay and my top Asian prop along with my players. So I've got one prop left. If you've got players left or some props, if you want to take the mic for a minute or two here.
I got one player and then I got a prop and then I will be done. And then we can kind of wrap it up. I am taking one more Australian this week and that would be Adam Scott at 70-1. I have, again, let me pull up the numbers. I have a random number here, but just bear with me. I have 0.2 units on Adam Scott to win at 70-1. And I have a top 20 at 3-1 for a unit. Adam Scott, couple really good tournaments here. Memorial, top 10. Byron Nelson, top 10. Wells Fargo, top 5. I think this is just a vibe on the Aussies playing well this week. Adam Scott has tons of U.S. Open history. Adam Scott has played well in California. I think this is a really good spot for him. I think he can grind it out with these guys. I like that his game has been really consistent. I'm a little worried about some of the putter luck. As of late, some of these top finishes have been buoyed by the putter, but the off the tee game, guy can still nuke it. Wide fairways, the approach numbers, there's a reason he's 70-1. It's a little bit of the roll of the dice. This isn't a Ricky Fowler 50-1 where the game has been super consistent. So I'm going to go down here with Adam Scott and Cam Smith and say we're going to have an Aussie party on Sunday. Hope all our guys are in it, but we'll see if my Australian predictions come true.
My card, if you looked at it on my notes here, you'll see a strike through on my Adam Scott bets. He was one of my last omissions. Just like I said, I had to get rid of 4.5 units from my initial card, and Adam Scott was on it. I did have a little bit of a 70-1 and a top 20, just like you. So I will be rooting for that, although it's an official play for me.
Yeah. All right. My last one, and then I will be, we'll kind of wrap things up and I'll kick it to you for your final parlay. So this was a last minute change. I actually had Justin Thomas in on this parlay, but I decided to nix it the last minute. I really like your Xander handicap. The floor is so high for him. Hideki, you mentioned all the things you have Hideki action on this week. I really like Hideki, just couldn't fit him in the card in a different way. And then I really like Tyrrell Hatton. Like, when's it coming, man? Hell of a season so far from him. Ultra consistent. The strokes gain numbers, tee to green and putting are fantastic. It is hard to understate how good Hatton's been. He missed the playoff by one stroke this past week.
Just not really a major guy.
No, he's not a major guy. And I'm not taking him to win. I'm taking him to top 20. So I've got Xander, Hideki, and Tyrrell Hatton top 20 plus 850 for 0.8 of a unit. Got a little creative with Adam Scott, a little creative here on this one, but I like it. And I think Hatton's game is in the best spot it's been in his career. And I think that buoyed with the fact that Hideki, we really like him this week. And then you mix in the fact that I think Xander's just, it's tough to not look at Xander and think he's not in the mix. Maybe he's not a winner at the end of the day, but top 20 for all three of those guys seems very realistic. And I like a lot of guys this week, as is typically the case with majors, and I wanted to get three unique names in there that I think are going to play well that I just couldn't fit in elsewhere.
Yeah. My last play, it's going to be really simple. It's a top 10 parlay, and it's just Scotty and Brooks, top 10, plus 275 for three quarters of a unit. It's that simple. I love them both. I already have Scheffler top 5 exposure. I'm going to add some top 10 exposure, and then Brooks, I'm already on the win, the top 10 and the top 20. So what's another top 10 bet on Brooks at almost 3-1 just for those two guys. I love it. 3/4 of a unit on a top 10 parlay.
Ride your horses. All right. We will do a quick recap here, and then we will send you off to the U.S. Open at LACC. I will quickly start. I've been mentioning this guy since the beginning of the year, and I'm not quitting now. Max Homa, Home game win 35-1, half unit, top 20 plus 130, 1.5 units. This is going to be his major coming out party. I can feel it. I love the Aussies this week, and that starts with Cam Smith. Win bet 35-1, half unit, top 20 plus 120, 1.5 units. Tony Finau, win bet 40-1, half unit. Love burning money on this guy. Top 10 plus 280, half unit. I do think he has a high floor this week. And then my final Aussie, Adam Scott, win 70-1, 0.2 of a unit, top 20 plus 300 for a unit. And then the top 20 parlay, had to mix it up a little bit. Xander, Hideki, Tyrrell, top 20 plus 850, 0.8 of a unit. That is 7. Mark.
Brooks Koepka to win 12-1, half a unit. Koepka to top 10 plus 130, 0.75 of a unit. Xander Schauffele, 18-1 for half a unit. Top 10 at plus 180 for 0.75 of a unit. Hideki Matsuyama to win at 45-1, half a unit. Top 20 plus 165 for 0.75 of a unit. My boy Ricky Fowler, 50-1, 0.25 of a unit on a win bet. Top 20 at plus 175 for 0.75 of a unit. I've got Hideki Matsuyama to be top Asian at 2-1 for a full unit. I've got a top 10 parlay, Scotty and Brooks, plus 275 for 0.75 of a unit. And I've got a top finish parlay. Again, all of these props offered by DraftKings. Scotty Scheffler, top 5. John Rahm, top 10. Brooks Koepka, top 20. 7-1 for half unit. I know Jeff and I gave a ton of plays this week, so make sure you guys tune into our and subscribe to our Substack. Comes out every Wednesday evening. So that way you don't get lost in the sauce. You're on everything that we're on, the hottest podcast in the game, your favorite podcast. We will walk it in at the US Open, Jeff.
I feel it, man. We're going to stay on that train for the Grand Slam. We only got one more major left after this one. So soak it in. We are past the 50% mark. And after this one, we'll only have one more major left on the season, and we'll be staring down the FedEx Cup playoffs here and not too long. So golf is in its sweet spot. Enjoy LACC this weekend. Enjoy some primetime golf if you're an East Coaster, and soak it all in. The season is continuing to move quickly. We will see you next week, though, on the Walking In podcast. Enjoy the golf. We'll see you then.